Welcome to the Blockchain Practitioners Podcast, where we interview founders, leaders, professors, and experts in the blockchain industry about the projects they're working on. On this podcast, we try to learn something new about an industry which will, in a few years, affect the lives of us all. My name is Stella, and I'm your host for this episode. Alexandre Ardoin is a French former tech investment banker and a serial entrepreneur. He decided to shift from a career in traditional finance towards a total focus in the Web3 and the metaverse. Within the Web3, he created MetaArchitect Studio, an advisory firm for the metaverse, as well as Club MetaHouse, an NFT collection focusing on real estate and architecture. He's also the co-founder of a startup called InfuseMe and an art charity organization called PacArtist. As you will hear in this episode, Alexandre is very, very enthusiastic about the metaverse, and I hope that you will like the episode as much as I did. Hi, Alex. Thank you so much for being here.
Hi. Thank you very much for having me there. I'm really happy to be here.
Yeah, me too. Me too. I'm super excited to talk about your project. Can you please introduce yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. So my name is Alexandre Ardoin, and I am the co-founder of MetaArchitect Studio and Club MetaHouse. So to talk a little bit more about my background, so it's pretty classical in a way that I graduated from a business school in France, from the EDEC business school, and then right after that, I went into finance in private equity, but also in investment banking with a focus on the tech industry. This is actually where I actually found everything regarding the NFT space, but I'm maybe going to talk about it later. And then, yes, after that, I left the investment banking to start my own project. So I created like three companies. One that is InfuseMe, but it has nothing to do with the Web3. It's more regarding the beverage industry, and then Club MetaHouse, as well as MetaArchitect Studio.
All right. Awesome. And we actually ask our guests usually, you know, how they first got into crypto. But in your case, can you please tell us more about how you got into the metaverse? You started to explain, I think, that since you're from a financial background, I guess this is how it started. But yeah, tell us your story.
Yeah, pretty much. So yeah, as I say, I was I came from a traditional financial background. So that means that I used to trade on financial market. But actually, when I saw the volatility on the crypto market, I say, why would I stay in the traditional market? It's so boring. So then I started to trade in crypto. I guess I was pretty lucky because it was during that bull run. So everything went up. But I didn't stop that. I really started to dig into the crypto world, into the Web3 industry. And I found it so amazing, so interesting. Like, you know, there's like so much new projects, so much innovation, and I always used to be a real tech savvy. So start from that, I spent more and more time on that. But what actually really gets me in the metaverse and within the NFT world is actually when I, because in my previous bank, Aborta Partners, there was that deal. It was the acquisition of Artifact by Nike. And during that time, I spent a lot of time to actually make some research about Artifact, about the company, to get to know everything regarding NFT. And I just found in love. It was like so obvious for me. So then I was, damn, I want to be like a part of it. I actually want to build something on it. I just don't want to trade it. I want to help that beautiful world to be something big. Mm-hmm. And I just, yeah, started to see what kind of value can I add on that? And I guess that this is where it all started.
All right. Very, very cool story. That's very exciting, actually. Can you please explain to our auditors who are not familiar with the concept, what's the metaverse? Why is it so exciting? What's all the hype behind the metaverse? And also, what is it that you're building there exactly? And how the hell do you do that?
Yeah, okay, all right. So that's a very good question because I hear so many things about the metaverse, so many crazy nonsense things about the metaverse, that this is something like totally new, that this is something like revolutionary, that, I mean, yeah, it's kind of true, but actually it's not something new, the metaverse. It's just a continuation of what we've been doing for the past 20 years. So, okay, I need you to follow me on this one. So I think that we can all agree to say that in the 19th century, 100% of our attention was only physical. Then the TV appeared. And that physical attention dropped to 90%, and it was 10% of our life that was digital. Then there is actually the Minitel, and there is internet, the computers, the smartphone, and everything. But nowadays, like as of now, today, 20th of June, 2022, it's more than half of our life that is digital, right? Right now, we are talking during that podcast online. Before that, to actually schedule that program, we did that on mail. You're going to have like some meetings on Zoom. You're going to chat with your boyfriend on Instagram, on Messenger. You're going to find some new job opportunities on LinkedIn. Everything is already digital. And what is the metaverse if not just a way to actually improve all of those experiences? For instance, let's just say that you want to meet your mother. This is her birthday, but you're stuck in New York and she is in Malta. So, of course, you can have a fast time. That'd be great. You're going to hear her. You're going to see her face. But what if instead of that, you just like plug a VR headset and then you are in that digital place in which you can actually see her moving. You can, you know, see her facial expression, see her body language. It will be almost the same thing as if you were like physically in a place with her. It's never going to be the same thing. But you know, the idea of the metaverse is not to replace with life. It's just to improve digital life. And so this is what is the metaverse. But also there is one thing that is like so interesting with the metaverse. It's that it's the main component of the Web3. And what is the Web3? You know, so at first we had the Web1. The Web1 is just an internet in which you can actually read. You can only read, nothing more. You can like search information on website, on blog, whatever you name it. But then there is the Web2. And the Web2, it's now the same web, but you can interact. You can share your ideas. This is where all of the Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, all of the social networks come into place, because now you can talk with people, you can share your ideas, you can listen to other people's ideas. Well, the next step, if you go even further, would be the Web3. And the Web3 is actually a web in which you can own something. Because now, in the Web2, you don't own anything in a way that you have a bank account, but the money is not yours, the money in bank. If the bank collapses, your money is gone. With Facebook, you have a profile page, but it's not yours. It belongs to Facebook. You own nothing in the Web2, but in the Web3, you actually own everything. Whether it is like with a fungible token, which is cryptocurrencies, Bitcoin, Ethereum, UST, whatever, and non-fungible token. A non-fungible token is something that is unique. And so if we take again that example of the birthday of your mom and that you are meeting her, of course, you want to meet her in a nice place. Let's say you're a fan of manga. Maybe you can like design the exact same place that happened in one of your anime. Or your dream has always been to be in London, in Paris. Then you can design the Eiffel Tower and a nice restaurant with a view on it. And you can actually be in that place. And all of the stuff that you actually design, you can own them. And that's the huge difference, because actually it makes so much sense. This is not only a place in which you can actually waste time, but this is a digital place that improves digital interaction, in which you can actually own those stuff to make money out of it, to monetize it. So it's not only a wasted time, but this is definitely something new that you can live in it and that actually can make space and in which you can make money out of it. And once we have the description of what is the metaverse, like a new digital space, what exactly am I building there? So actually a lot of things. So at first, with one of my projects, Club Meta House, we try to build houses like real estate in the metaverse, because one thing that is true is that there is a lot of people that own land. A land is just a piece of one metaverse, but they don't do anything with that. They just own it as a speculative asset, which is okay, which is good. But if you can go further, if you can actually like generate passive income, like for instance, there was that concert that was on the metaverse, and that artist make actually a couple of millions because a lot of people were able to intend to it. There is also that artist that I really love, which is a Murakami. And Murakami, he did an exhibition of his art. That was in New York, but that was also on the metaverse. And in that case, you know, you can go in the metaverse to see everything. Well, in with the house that you're actually building, you can do that. You can invite some friends to hang out. You can create a casino experiences, a concert, an event, whatever you want to do. And we, with actually real life architect, we try to build those kind of stuff. But we don't stop there, as we are also an advisory firm, and we actually help companies that want to build anything. It might be like in the fashion industry, in the gaming industry, in the beverage industry. We just help them to build in the metaverse. And now the question is, how do we do that? Because again, the metaverse is something actually pretty simple. All you need to do is, at first, you need to have a vision, an idea of what you want to do. A use case, because you don't want to build something just to build something. You want to build something because it's actually going to be useful. And once you have that, one of the most important thing with the metaverse is 3D modeler. Because whatever you might think of, you need to design it. You need to 3D modeling it. So once we have that, we just need to do a smart contract, which is basically a program to integrate those 3D models or all kind of digital assets within the metaverse. And that's it. In just 3 steps, we can build everything that we want in the metaverse.
I see. Well, that was a very, very good and very complete answer. Thank you very much for that. And thanks mostly for clarifying what Web3 is. I really like that, you know, you went back to the most important base of the whole space, which is ownership, owning your assets, either currencies or data, etc., etc. And I like your vision of this is not something new, because this is definitely not what we hear the most. I get your point that this is definitely a continuation of what we already do. It's just more immersive, and it also allows you to be more creative. And I also like that you talked about not replacing real life, because I think that this is one of the criticisms that we hear the most, right? People afraid that the metaverse takes over at some point over real life, but this is not the goal. This is not the goal at all. And you also talked about real estate and what you were doing there. And actually, this follows up with my next question about the value of the virtual lands and the buildings. Because as you said, it's possible to get experiences there, but sometimes some prices can seem so high. It's just insanely expensive nowadays to buy a piece of land there. And a lot of people, I think, are very skeptical about that, because we're skeptical. What is it that determines their price? Since it's all virtual and, you know, we cannot really use them physically to live there or to plant things for agriculture or whatever. Where does this value come from? And isn't it just a hype?
Well, thank you for asking. So just before responding that, actually, there is something that you say that I really love to bounce on. It is that when you say that there is a lot of people and they are worried that it's going to take much more place, you know, that like the physical world, and that in that case it can be dangerous. Like, there is something that I always say, is that it's not because you can kill with a knife that the knife has been made to kill, you know, like, in a way that
it's a tool.
Of course, some people can get lost with that, but that's already the case with Web2 and with whatever. So obviously, some people are going to get lost in it. That's something that's going to happen. But this is also why, you know, we just need like to educate people to that. And the fact of like deny that technology is not the right way, because this is something happening whether you want it or not. So as it's happening, it's really important that all of us, we just educate, you know, people to actually what is the metaverse, how to use it properly. And yeah, that's just something that I wanted to say. Mm-hmm. Now, to talk about actually the virtual lands, yeah, prices can be very crazy, mostly if you go to some places in the sandbox, yes, like next to a Snoop Dogg house or like stuff like that. It can be like really crazy huge. But, you know, I mean, it's simple economic. It's just like the offer and the demand. What actually makes Facebook so valuable as a company? It's worth like billions and billions of dollars. Why is Fortnite so valuable? The answer is easy, because a lot of people are using it. There is a lot of demand. So as there is a lot of demand, you know, prices goes up. And that's exactly the same thing for a virtual land. Because in the metaverse, when you actually see all of the opportunities, all of the possibilities that happened in the metaverse, and that the difference right now with the metaverse that we have in comparison like with the hers or with everything is that there is only a limited amount of land. By the way, just to mention it for like the auditor, land is just a fraction of one metaverse, you know, like it is in the real world actually. And so for that, when people actually understand that there is like only a limited fraction of it, people want to have it, so it starts to gain value. There is like traction in that market. But that will be just, you know, kind of like a FOMO, but it's not it. Because once you have that land, you know, all kind of people might have land. But as is it a digital world, there is like different spaces, different neighborhoods. Like it would be in Paris. Like, why is it that if you want to buy a place in the Champs-Élysées, it's going to be 10 times more expensive if you want to buy like in the 90s district or something like that? It's just because there is a lot of infrastructure that are built on the Champs-Élysées, because there is a lot of people that are coming in it. Well, that's the same thing with the metaverse, because as I said, you can build whatever you want to build in it. And when there is actually, you know, companies like JP Morgan, like Nike, or like big artists like Snoop Dogg that invest in it, you want to be next to them, because that means that maybe when they're going to work, like, you know, in the digital world, you're going to, you know, work across them. So you're actually going to see those people, or actually at least the avatar of those people. So then it actually makes sense that you want to buy it, because some great stuff are going to be built on that. Maybe some of the best architects are going to design awesome places. And actually, it's make everything valuable, because what we're actually trying to build with the metaverse, it's all a whole digital economy. And in that digital economy, you know, we are at the very beginning. So if you think that now the prices are high, just wait in like 3 or 5 years. And actually, it's like, it would not surprise me that prices in digital world might be like as expensive as in the real world. Wow. Because that will be the exact same thing. Everything is going to be built on it. A lot of traction, a lot of, you know, the offices. If you take the example right now, there is a lot of remote work. Mm-hmm. So I probably, a lot of companies, they are going to put their headquarters there and you're going to work there. So that's going to be like kind of like a business district, a financial district perhaps. And in that case, you know, you want to be in that financial district. You want to be in that place. That's actually what makes it very valuable. Uh-huh. But the other thing also, when you have a land in the metaverse, you can monetize it. As we said with the Web3, you own it. You can build whatever you want in it. You can generate passive income out of it. Maybe in the future, you can rent it like you would rent a normal place. And, you know, if you combine all of that, you actually see that all of the metaverse starts with the land. And if you want to be a big actor in the metaverse, if you want to actually be really invested in the metaverse, it all starts with the land. So I would say that this is why some places might be super expensive.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And also, as you mentioned, since it's your land, you own it, you want to be next to those big actors, like those big companies or Snoop Dogg and other celebrities investing in it. I think that in the future, if the prices keep increasing, a very interesting thing to take into consideration is that those companies will probably want to buy out your land and make a very interesting offer. Yes. I think this is already happening, actually.
It is actually
quite often. So yeah, indeed, there's quite a value. I think it's a matter of switching mentality and switching paradigm, because nowadays we're still not, I think, at least most people are still not aware. Ready for that to happen psychologically, because it's such a big change.
Yeah, exactly. It's a change, you know, in our culture. It's a change because, mm-hmm. Yeah, we used to see that only with like video game, but like truth is, like probably 75% yeah. of like, actually I saw a study and like it's more than like 60% of the user of video games, they are adults. So it's not like something for only kids, you know? And basically, mm-hmm. everyone wants to actually like kind of like play video games to enjoy their time there. So I don't think that this is something that everyone would be like uncomfortable to do, but rather it's in the culture as right now, you know, the video games, mm-hmm. it's considered, and it might be as something kind of like a waste of time, something that you just lose time in it. But like in the metaverse, when actually they can do kind of like the same thing, whether it is by experiences or to own stuff, and actually you can make money out of it, it represents a business, then a lot of people are going to be attracted. And I think that, according to me, for the metaverse to be like really popular, to have like that really mass adoption, we need to have actually like some metaverse that are really like user friendly, maybe made by like by one big company. And when that's going to happen, everyone will be crazy about it and everyone will run in it. And I think that right now, if you have a piece of land in one metaverse, yeah, that's going to be like so cheap in comparison with what it's going to be in the next years.
Yeah, user friendliness is definitely an issue that we can see across the whole space, in my own opinion, with DeFi and so on. So definitely, this is definitely a factor for mass adoption. And can you please tell us a little bit more about what you do at Meta Architect Studio and Club Meta House? You mentioned, well, obviously metaverse architecture, but also advising.
Yes, absolutely. So so we have like two companies. So the first one is Meta Architect Studio. Meta Architect Studio is an advisory firm for traditional businesses that want to get into the metaverse. So that means that for that, we do strategic advisory. So we construct business plans of like one project to go in the metaverse. So that means it can be with an NFT, with every kind of thing to actually what would make sense for that industry to go in the metaverse. We also do 3D modeling, as I'm working two of the partners. They are real-life architects, so they can design whatever you want. Like, for instance, you want to have a replica of the Jules Verne, which is a very cool restaurant, like in the Eiffel Tower, we can do that. You want to have a replica of the Opera of Paris. Yeah, I'm French. Don't worry if I only use like French example. So yeah, we can design like whatever you want. And then we also have developers, and those developers, they can actually create that code that's going to implement what we built into the metaverse. So this is the first company that I'm working with that actually co-created. And then there is also Club Meta House. So Club Meta House is an NFT collection of 10,000 houses that's going to represent the history of architecture within time and space. That means that you're going to start in the 5th century with Roman villa all the way through futuristic houses. In the meantime, you're going to have a French castle, Asian houses, futuristic houses, mansion, modern villa, typical American house, whatever you name it. And all of those houses, they are going to be multiverse. So what is multiverse? That means that it's going to be compatible with actually different metaverses. So at first, it's going to be available in Decentraland. And then we're going to make one airdrop, which means that we are going to give the same house for free, but compatible with Sandbox. But also, it's pretty funny because, as you said, not everyone, as of now, can actually afford to have a land in the metaverse. So what we're also doing is that we are building an application. In that application, you can go in those houses, you can customize them, decorate them. It's going to be VR compatible, invite some friends. And then if you want to create some event, if you want to create like a casino game, a concert, whatever, you can do it within that application. So this is what I do.
This is so awesome. This is so awesome. I love the concept. I love it. Can you please tell us what are the biggest challenges and opportunities that you see in this space as being so active in the space? What are they, and also how your company approach them?
Yes, of course. So I think that right now the biggest challenges is the kind of like technological one, in the way that to allow the metaverse to function really practically, it needs to be really fast and it can work on any kind of device. Whatever you have, the last iPhone or an iPhone 8 or, you know, a low computer, you can actually works on the metaverse and do whatever. Right now, it's not possible. So I would say that the first one would be to have actually engine powerful enough, like processor powerful enough to support all of those data that exist in the metaverse. In that case, we don't do anything because we don't have actually, this is not our core of business. But then about the other biggest, I would say, challenges will be actually education. We need to educate people,
yes.
As you say,
Yes, definitely.
We need to make people understand what is the value of that, how big it is going to be, how is it already something happening, and how everyone can be a part of it. We need to educate about that. So we try to do it so first with our customers, obviously, to explain them really deeply what is the metaverse, what they can do about it. We also try to post some content on LinkedIn, on the page of Meta Architect Studio, and on Twitter with my personal account. And we will also open a YouTube channel to discuss about the trend in the metaverse. Yes, we're going to try to do a weekly video to explain everything related to the metaverse, you know. But yeah, at the end of the day, the idea is just to explain kind of like a complex idea with simple words. This is the only way to make the Web3 really progress. So that would be like for the biggest challenges. And now for the opportunities, oh my God, there is like so much actually. There is like so much. Actually, I'm going to use like kind of like use case of different industries. So at first, according to me, the most obvious one would be within the working industry, like the offices industry. So, you know, as of now, the more people are working remotely. If you take the example of my startup, for instance, we don't have offices. Everything is doing remotely. And for that, when you actually have like a big company, and that there is a lot of people that works remotely, you can use like the tools of the web too, like Zoom, like Slack. It's cool. Don't get me wrong. Those are cool tools. But what if you can go like further? What if actually you just have to put, one glasses, and with those glasses, you can actually see your coworkers. You don't even need like a laptop. Everything is going to be integrated with your glasses. And then you can work from whatever you want. You can be in Rio de Janeiro, you can be in Paris, you can be in Malta, whatever the place is, you can work on it. But for that, we will need to actually design everything. We will need to build the infrastructure, the offices, everything. We will need to design it. So that will be, I think, the first opportunity to do it. This is, by the way, what you're also trying to do with Club Meta House, in which you can obviously work for the houses that we are designing. Then, another big industry that's going to be impacted, all of the industries are going to be impacted, but one of the biggest would be also the fashion industry. Because, you know, if you remember of what I say, the metaverse actually going to be really practical when roughly 75% of our life is going to be digital. But when in that case, you know, when you're going to meet with your friends that are not in the same city, not country, digitally. So you're going to be that, to have that place, like that real estate place that it designed, but you're also going to have one avatar. That avatar is not going to be naked. That avatar is going to wear shoes, is going to have, you know, t-shirt, sweatshirt, whatever you can name it. This is also why Nike just released their first NFT sneakers. Yes, with that, then the digital appearance is going to be something actually tremendous. And for that, you're going to, maybe some people are going to buy designer 3D clothes, some traditional one, maybe more normal one. But whatever is what you want to have, you're going to need to actually buy some clothes. But the real difference, and why actually it would make more sense for me to buy a $3,000 digital jacket rather than a $3,000 physical jacket, is that physical jacket, you're going to use it. Locality is going to be like, you know, better. And then it's going to worth nothing. But that digital NFT that you're going to have, that digital jacket, actually, you're going to be able to sell it. It's just going to increase in value. And then it's just going to like create another kind of like economy to generate to make money. And so the fashion industry, and you can see that because right now, a fashion week happened in Decentraland. Like, this is something so huge. Like, there was brands like, you know, Dolce and Gabbana, like Gucci is in the metaverse, Louis Vuitton is in the metaverse, Roberto Cavalli, even some brands of perfume, like all of the fashion luxury industry is going to be in the metaverse. So that's going to be like something really huge. And I would say also like one last one would be the gaming industry. Because right now, why do you think that Fortnite is making so much money? It's because this is a free game. You want to play for Fortnite, you don't need any money. You play it for free. But if they make a bunch of money, it's only because people actually buy skins, and those skins, then it's worthless. But with actually the gaming industry, if you buy skins, then, and actually it goes with like the fashion industry again, you're going to be able to sell it. You're going to be able, actually, with the metaverse, to make money out of those games and to make a living out of it. So this is something that's going to be, yeah, huge. So this is why I would really recommend, whatever your industry is, to at least educate yourself within the Web3, because this, there is something for you. That's like 100% sure. Now you have to see whether it's a good fit for you, but at least don't lose, you know, that opportunity because you were lazy, you didn't want to hear about it, or like you are stopped. Try to learn, try to understand it. And then if it's not for you, it's not for you. But at least make that effort to like understand everything that it can bring to your business and to your industry.
Thank you so much, Alex, for your answer. I love the passion when you started to speak about the opportunities. Yeah. I felt like I couldn't stop you anymore, but I completely understand you. You know, when people ask me about the metaverse and how I see it in the next 10 years, I always compare it to the movie Ready Player One. I don't know if you have watched this movie or not.
Yeah.
But yeah, for me, it's kind of how I see us going into that direction. It's something very, very immersive. Actually, you know, you're teaching me something new because I did not know about the perfumes. I knew about the fashion week, but I never heard about perfumes in the metaverse. And I really wonder what kind of experience that must be. But
actually this is the brand, it's a Nordic brand. They made like a collaboration with Artifact. It's called Biredo, and we don't know yet what they're going to do with that, so I'm very curious and I cannot wait to see what actually going to happen. But I think that, you know, in video games, for instance, when you have you know, you can drink potion, or like you can drink all kind of stuff, or you can actually, you know, use those kind of stuff. So I think that those perfume, they might, you know, kind of like improve the attribute of some clone, or also as one perfume is actually made with, you know, thousands of, or maybe like hundreds of compounds, like to kind of like do something with those compounds. But I don't know much about it, and I'm so curious about it. Yeah,
me too. I really will look this up because this is super interesting. And coming back to the question that I asked you, you said something very interesting regarding the challenges, as with education being one of the biggest challenges. And I think this is not only true for the metaverse but also in crypto. That's something that really I feel desperate about. People investing without, you know, understanding or trying to understand what blockchain is, what crypto is, and then losing a lot of money because of that. So I think education is something very, very, very big that needs to be tackled in the space. But it's not the only challenge, right? There are also a lot of other challenges. And actually, I would like to ask you about, as an entrepreneur, what your experience is like with administration and the kind of support that you get, you know, from incubators, accelerators, government. What are the obstacles that you can, that you were or maybe are or have been facing regulation wise? Because for me, this is also quite a challenge when you try to be an entrepreneur in this space.
Yes, I agree with that. So from my case, I would say that it's kind of like a little different. As I used to work in investment banking, and once I was an investment banker in the tech industry, we actually did a lot of like fundraising. So that means that I used to talk with a lot of entrepreneurs and to actually understand how they are building everything. So I would say that for most of the company, the most difficult stuff would be to actually manage the treasury and to raise capital. But in my case, as it was my job, it was actually pretty easy to to do it. It was really not complex to do a first pre-seed. But yeah, I would say that like for traditional entrepreneur, that would be one of the most difficult thing. Government administration wise, one thing that was really difficult was to register our company in Malta. That was actually a pain in the ass. We had to work with lawyers and stuff like that. And actually was a very long thing to do. But yeah, I would say that this is the only thing that was kind of like, notable with that. But for traditional entrepreneur, yeah, they really need, I would say that the people they enter themselves with would be the most important, because when you create something, if you're Elon Musk, you can, but if you're not Elon Musk, you cannot know everything. So you need to just surround you with the right people that are going to be like real asset and that going to help you with all of the stuff that you're not going to know.
Definitely. This is actually very good advice. And what other advice would you give to someone who's interested in pursuing a career in the space, in metaverse, in crypto or blockchain, whatever be it?
I would have like two advice. The first one is learn. I mean, this is definitely not a place that is made like for a lazy person, in a way that this is something that I always say, is one day within the Web3 is like one entire month within the Web2. Like there is right now, we are in that moment in which we have to build everything. So everyone is trying to do something. A lot of things are happening in the same time. So you really need to spend some time to educate yourself, to like kind of like learn the trend, also what is great for you. Because yeah, as I said, I started by trading in crypto, and then I didn't like it that much. So then I was investing in cryptos, but then it was okay, great, but I really found the thing that I love within NFTs and the metaverse. You actually need to learn what are the different aspects in order to choose your path and to choose what are you going to do. And then the second advice that I would have to give is go. If you like it, just go. Don't waste time. The time is now. You're not going to be able to do what you can do now in 5 years. It's like we are in 97 with the internet. You have like, there is that window now that is open that is huge. You can like make so much great thing right now because we have to build everything. So if you're thinking about pursuing a career in this field, about launching something, just go, work hard and go for it. This is, I would say, the best advice. But actually, this is one advice that is good for everything in life. If you want something, don't be afraid, go. Because the worst thing in life is not to fail, is to say, what if? What if I did that? What if I have done that? That is the worst thing that you can ever think. You know, if you're 50 and you see another friend of yours, but that friend of you, he actually did the thing, you know, that you were talking, the two of you, but you didn't do it, whether it was by fear, by laziness, but whatever. And then when you're 50 and you see your friend that is so successful and you envy him or you're jealous of him, the worst thing that you might say would be, what if? But if you did something and you failed, then you're going to learn a lot of things with that. And you're never going to say, I should not have done it. But yeah, I tried to do it. I'm proud of myself. Now let's go to the next step. So yeah, learn and go. That would be my advice.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you so much for the pep talk. I feel so energized. No, seriously, you're so, so, so right. It's all about constant learning in this space because so many things are happening at the same time and a lot of things are changing every day. So definitely keeping up is quite demanding. And well, thank you so, 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 so much for answering all of my questions, Alex. It was really great having you.
Thank you very much for having me. I really had a great time. Those were really great questions. And yeah, it was fantastic.
Thank you. I actually have one last question for you. Where can we find more info about Club MetaHouse? Where is the best place to follow all of your updates on the community and catch up with your work?
Yeah, absolutely. So obviously we have a website, aclimatehouse.com, but I would say that if you want to be like the more involved within the community and to learn the most about it, that would be on Twitter and on Discord. So we're going to publish any information and update it on Twitter. But if you really want to get involved with the community to talk about the member of Climeta House, then you can go to Discord. And on top of that, cherry on the cake, if you are on the Discord, we actually do a lot of game and a lot of things so that you can actually win widely spots with is access to a private save, but also to win some free NFTs or sometimes some cash. So we try to do a lot of things so that it's really funny and really cool for you to be with us in Climeta House, because at the end of the day, what's more important with Web3 is the community. And we know that, and we try to reward our community.
Good point. Good point. Awesome. Awesome. I will make sure to put all of the links to your Twitter and Discord and also LinkedIn. Everything you have, I will put in the description of the episode on our website, blockchainpractitioners.com. Thank you so much again, Alex, for coming with us. I'm happy that you had as much fun as I did. And yeah, I guess I'll see you around.
Perfectly. Let's do that. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to the Blockchain Practitioners podcast, and we hope you learned something useful and new about blockchain and digital currency today. If you're involved in an interesting blockchain project and would like to talk about it in a similar fashion to this episode you just listened, feel free to reach out to us. Also, please like, rate, and review this podcast if possible, and share our content with everyone you think would like it. If you'd like some more information on this project, you can visit us on LinkedIn or our website at blockchainpractitioners.com. Thanks again for listening, and see you at the next episode.